Right. Trish headed for the door but paused when she heard Catherine's iPhone chirp. With luck, the incoming text message might be information that would grant Trish a reprieve from this distasteful task. She waited as Catherine fished the iPhone from her lab coat's pocket and eyed the screen. Catherine Solomon felt a wave of relief to see the name on her iPhone.
At last.
Peter Solomon.
It's a text message from my brother, she said, glancing over at Trish.
Trish looked hopeful.
So maybe we should ask him about all this before we call a hacker?
Catherine eyed the redacted document on the plasma wall and heard Dr. Abaddon's voice. That which your brother believes is hidden in D.C., it can be found. Catherine had no idea what to believe anymore, and this document represented information about the far-fetched ideas with which Peter had apparently become obsessed. Catherine shook her head.
I want to know who wrote this and where it's located. Make the call.
Trish frowned and headed for the door. Whether or not this document would be able to explain the mystery of what her brother had told Dr. Abaddon, there was at least one mystery that had been solved today. Her brother had finally learned how to use the text messaging feature on the iPhone Catherine had given him. And alert the media, Catherine called after Trish. The great Peter Solomon just sent his first text message. In a strip mall parking lot across the street from the SMSC, Malik stood beside his limo, stretching his legs and waiting for the phone call he knew would be coming. The rain had stopped, and a winter moon had started to break through the clouds. It was the same moon that had shone down on Malik through the oculus of the House of the Temple 3 months ago, during his initiation. The world looks different tonight. As he waited, his stomach growled again. His 2-day fast, although uncomfortable, was critical to his preparation. Such were the ancient ways. Soon all physical discomforts would be inconsequential. As Malak stood in the cold night air, he chuckled to see that fate had deposited him, rather ironically, directly in front of a tiny church. Here, nestled between Sterling Dental and a mini-mart, was a tiny sanctuary, Lord's House of Glory. Malak gazed at the window, which displayed part of the church's doctrinal statement. We believe that Jesus Christ was begotten by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, and is both true man and God. Malak smiled. Yes, Jesus is indeed both man and God, but a virgin birth is not the prerequisite for divinity. That is not how it happens. The ring of a cell phone cut the night air, quickening his pulse. The phone that was now ringing was Malak's own, a cheap disposable phone he had purchased yesterday. The caller ID indicated it was the call he had been anticipating. A local call, Malak mused, gazing out across Silver Hill Road toward the faint moonlit outline of a zigzag roofline over the treetops. Malak flipped open his phone.
This is Dr. Abaddon, he said, tuning his voice deeper.
It's Catherine, the woman's voice said. I finally heard from my brother.
Oh, I'm relieved. How is he?
He's on his way to my lab right now, Catherine said. In fact, he suggested you join us.
I'm sorry?
Malak feigned hesitation.
In your lab?
He must trust you deeply. He never invites anyone back there.
I suppose maybe he thinks a visit might help our discussions, but I feel like it's an intrusion.
If my brother says you're welcome, then you're welcome. Besides, he said he has a lot to tell us both, and I'd love to get to the bottom of what's going on.
Very well, then. Where exactly is your lab?
At the Smithsonian Museum Support Center. Do you know where that is?
No,
Malak said, staring across the parking lot at the complex.
I'm actually in my car right now, and I have a guidance system. What's the address?
4210 Silver Hill Road.
Okay, hold on. I'll type it in.
Malak waited for 10 seconds, and then said,
Ah, good news. It looks like I'm closer than I thought. The GPS says I'm only about 10 minutes away.
Great. I'll phone the security gate and tell them you're coming through.
Thank you.
I'll see you shortly.
Malak pocketed the disposable phone and looked out toward the SMSC. Was I rude to invite myself? Smiling, he now pulled out Peter Solomon's iPhone and admired the text message he had sent Catherine several minutes earlier. Got your messages. All's fine. Busy day.
Forgot appointment with Dr. Abaddon. Sorry not to mention him sooner. Long story. Am headed to lab now. If available, have Dr. Abaddon join us inside. I trust him fully, and I have much to tell you both. Peter. Not surprisingly, Peter's iPhone now pinged with an incoming reply from Catherine. Peter, congrats on learning to text. Relieved you're okay. Spoke to Dr. A, and he is coming to lab. See you shortly. K. Clutching Solomon's iPhone, Malak crouched down under his limousine and wedged the phone between the front tire and the pavement. This phone had served Malak well, but now it was time it became untraceable. He climbed behind the wheel, put the car in gear, and crept forward until he heard the sharp crack of the iPhone imploding. Malak put the car back in park and stared out at the distant silhouette of the SMSC. 10 minutes. Peter Solomon's sprawling warehouse housed over 30 million treasures. But Malak had come here tonight to obliterate only the two most valuable. All of Catherine Solomon's research, and Catherine Solomon herself. Chapter 26.
Professor Langdon, Sato said, you look like you've seen a ghost. Are you okay?
Langdon hoisted his day bag higher onto his shoulder and laid his hand on top of it, as if somehow this might better hide the cube-shaped package he was carrying. He could feel his face had gone ashen. I'm just worried about Peter. Sato cocked her head, eyeing him askew. Langdon felt a sudden wariness that Sato's involvement tonight might relate to this small package that Solomon had entrusted to him. Peter had warned Langdon, powerful people want to steal this. It would be dangerous in the wrong hands. Langdon couldn't imagine why the CIA would want a little box containing a talisman, or even what the talisman could be.
Ordo ab Kau?
Sato stepped closer, her black eyes probing.
I sense you've had a revelation.
Langdon felt himself sweating now. No, not exactly.
What's on your mind?
Langdon hesitated, having no idea what to say. He had no intention of revealing the existence of the package in his bag, and yet if Sato took him to the CIA, his bag most certainly would be searched on the way in. Actually, he fibbed, I have another idea about the numbers on Peter's hand. Sato's expression revealed nothing.
Yes?
She glanced over at Anderson now, who was just arriving from greeting the forensics team that had finally arrived. Langdon swallowed hard and crouched down beside the hand, wondering what he could possibly come up with to tell them. You're a teacher.